Ay, bobo. Welcome to the Agua Cerrito podcast show, where we honor the divine, spark personal liberation, and deconstruct Haitian voodoo. I'm your host, Knowledge, also known as Konef Kife. Every episode is a digital offering to the sacred spirits, ancestors, and vibrant culture of Haitian voodoo. Through storytelling, interviews, and reflections, we will explore its roots, its power, and its impact. Voodoo is more than spirituality. It is life, legacy, and liberation. Ay, bobo. Welcome to the Agua Cerrito podcast show. I'm your host, Professor Knowledge, Professor Konef Kife. In today's pre-season episode, we are going to talk about generational curses. As always, let's begin today's conversation with breath and prayer. Let's start with our breath. Let's breathe together three times. Inhale love and exhale fear. Inhale faith and exhale doubt. Inhale serenity and exhale uncertainty. Allow your breath to align with your heartbeat. Thanks to Almighty God. Thank you for the breath of life. Greetings to all the divine saints and angels in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Greetings to the ancestral spirits in the East, the West, the North, and the South. Greetings to the ancestral spirits of the earth, of water, fire, and air, both known and unknown. Greetings to the ancestral spirits of our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, and our great-grandparents and beyond, both near and far. Greetings to you, our esteemed listeners. Thank you for the thread that connects us all as brothers and sisters on this earthly realm. We ask to enlighten and empower our listeners with light, wisdom, and knowledge. We ask to liberate our hearts and minds in order to connect with the divine. We ask that whatever is needed from this episode be met. We ask that whatever guidance needs to be shared is shared as well as understood in this episode. We ask that whatever lessons needs to be learned. Aibobo, ago ago, bo asao, alaso, awoshenago, jabodo, afutai, bilolo, swakongo, kwa, sen, bo. Our episode today essentially concludes our pre-season line of topics. And while I feel like even with today's episode, you know, with the last couple of topics, we got a chance to talk a little bit about the soul within Haitian Vodou. We talked a little bit about shadow work from a spiritual lens within Haitian Vodou. And even with our topic today, you know, I think that while we covered these topics at a very high level, just to create a little bit of awareness and help connect the dots of how they allow you to create space to really be able to connect with the laws, I feel like we, again, just scratched the surface. Even today's episode, we're going to really just scratch the surface. So I may revisit. I'm going to think about it and let me know what you think. Feel free to email me, aguacerito@gmail.com. Let me know what you think about the topics we covered, what questions you may have. I may end up revisiting these topics in some way, shape, or form towards the season finale. So we'll see. There's other topics. There's other topics that we could definitely cover when it comes to creating the right optimal environment in order to live on the laws. But you know, let me know what you think. Would love to hear your perspective. And for those that are new to the show, welcome, welcome. If you've listened to season one, you'll notice that we typically play different Vodou songs, you know, when we start and end each particular episode. We kind of have like a rhythm of how we structure the episodes. And we decided like to stay kind of in that same start and finish of songs, but for the preseason episodes, for the last three episodes, we wanted to be very purposeful and align with what I call reglema, right? With especially, you know, when I'm saying reglema, I'm going to speak specifically the reglema of my particular lineage. Typically in my lineage, and this is not the case for all, but in many lineages, before a Vodou ceremony begins, before they start playing songs to, you know, to be able to summon, to acknowledge the laws, when the drummers are getting ready to start, they do kind of I'm going to call it like a pregame warm-up. And this pregame warm-up that the drummers do is called womble. So they call it your womble tambua, right? And it's sort of like a warming up of the drums, right? And womble tambua actually does two things to the community, right? It signals two specific things. One, it signals to the laws that the ceremony is about to start, but it also signals to the community, to the individuals around, the practitioners around, the devotees around, that something is about to begin. So we wanted to bring that aspect of reglema to this preseason episode. So if you've noticed, again, for those that are new to the show may not have realized that, but if you've been a listener to the show, you know we typically start and end each episode with Vodou songs. You'll notice that we've started and ended each of the preseason episodes with the tambu, right? With that womble tambu. And I'm really excited to talk about the taboo a bit more further. In this season, we're actually going to talk about wuto, which is the spirit of the drums. I'm really excited about that conversation because the drums do play a significant role within Vodou, not just for the community at large, but also for the Loas themselves. So that's a sidebar, but I wanted to call that out since this is the last of our preseason episodes. I wanted to, again, bring your awareness, bring your attention to that reglement, and that us picking the songs. We're very intentional, very purposeful when we pick certain select songs. So, you know, in the case of the drums in this scenario, we were very purposeful as well. So sidebar, but I wanted to call that out. So if we kind of switch gears and start talking about generational curses, this is a heavy topic, and I'm gonna just give a warning, right? For some individuals, this topic may be triggering. For some individuals, you know, this may be a bit difficult to bring to the surface, and I want to acknowledge the heaviness of it. I also want to acknowledge that if chances are, if you are not only a listener of the show, if you're listening to this specific episode, there is a likelihood. Now, this is not the case for every single person, right? But there is a likelihood that you may be realizing that you are a generational curse breaker yourself. You know, many individuals that have incarnated on the earth at this particular time, when you think about all the things that's going on in the world right now, particularly from a spiritual perspective, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with folks, and there's one thing that we continue to acknowledge is that there is a significant spiritual warfare at play, whether those that choose to be aware of it, to be awakened to it, etc., there is that thread there. So there are many individuals that are incarnated to really bring their lineage forward. And so I hope, you know, if this resonates with you, if it doesn't resonate with you, that's okay too. I think just being able to learn and deconstruct the idea of what generational curses are, particularly from a Haitian Vodou lens, is important information. So if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I don't feel that that's my calling, that is totally okay. I want you to think about, who do you know within your network, within your community, within the people around you, that as you listen to the information that's provided in today's episode, to pass it on. And for some of you, that is the purpose, right? Is to listen to this and pass it on to someone else who may need to hear this type of information. So again, this may be a bit triggering. And I say, if you need to take some time, come back to this episode. Even writing this episode, I felt the heaviness of the topic. However, despite the heaviness, it's also very liberating. There's liberation in knowledge. There's liberation in decolonizing ourselves, and decolonizing our understanding of topics, particularly if we really want to take on a true Pan-African worldview, right? So when I talk about generational curses, I'm going to specifically speak about it from a Haitian Vodou cosmology lens, but it does foray into kind of African cosmology when we think about this particular topic. So if we look at the concept of generational curses from a Western lens, there is a westernized narrative that this idea of a generational curse has somehow implied that there has been some sort of punishment that has been you know, kind of put on a family because of some sort of sin. You know, there's this concept that if there's a generational curse, it's kind of rooted in shame. It goes back to this, again, westernized thinking of the concept of original sin, of being born of original sin and being saved from original sin. And there's this like shaming and moral judgment. And we talked a little bit about kind of that westernized purity culture in our previous episode talking about shadow work. We see that when people associate generational curses with that same kind of lens. So it's like, if we are not pure and whole from kind of that Western, if we're not, you know, all knowing good, all knowing perfect, and we fall into this bucket, there's this shaming and there's this, you know, there's this heaviness, there's this judgment. And it's like, I can just kind of even visualize someone like wagging their finger, like, shame on you. You know, God is punishing you. God is punishing your family for the sins that you've committed because you're bad people. That's kind of the underbelly of the narrative, even if it's not spoken in that way. But that's typically how, when people from a westernized perspective think about generational curses, that's typically the lens and the emotions that's attached to it, right? It's like, oh my gosh, we're just horrible people. And it's just this, like, you know, kind of holding our head down in shame perspective. I want to today reframe for you, our listeners, how to really think about a generational curse in order to be liberated from it. A quote unquote generational curse is not divine punishment. A generational curse, again, from a Haitian voodoo perspective, could be one of several things. It could be some sort of unresolved energy. It could be some sort of ancestral debt that hasn't been paid. It can take on in the form of energetic blockages that show up in the family. It can even be knots, energetic knots that's been embedded into the bloodline. So remember, we are each a summation of our ancestors. We are a summation of our lineage. And so if you think about it, sometimes, and this is very common, sometimes individuals pass away and they don't have an opportunity to, you know, right all of the things that maybe they were set out to do. They didn't get a chance to fulfill all of their life's mission, or there's some things, decisions that they made that they didn't get a chance to course correct in their incarnation on Earth. And so that information, you know, both their strengths, their gifts, but also their debts, their unresolved energies, like the unresolved, let's say, you know, if there was like fights in the family, there are certain types of grievances, those things stay unresolved and they move through the bloodline. And if those avenues have not been resolved from a spiritual perspective, it creates these sort of debts within the lineage. It creates these blockages. It becomes this unresolved aspect that has, you know, this knot, right, that has yet to be untied, that the new generations that have now received this DNA coding and received the bloodline with all of its gifts and its spiritual genius and all of the talents also comes with this residual. Right. And what's really interesting, I would love to see and learn and kind of unpack generational curses from a scientific lens, because I think what's interesting is that it is a condition, you know, a generational curse is essentially a situation that is affecting a current generation. Hence, it's called generational curse. Because curses are, they can be passed down, they can skip a generation, they can even skip a person or a group of individuals within a family, within a generation. So it's not about, again, that like, oh, you're being punished by God. It's more of, what are some unresolved situations, unresolved spiritual blockages that need to be understood and need to be corrected, right? And there are sometimes individuals that are brought and incarnated to help with those energetic blockages. So again, it's not about being someone being bad, right? That's not, and again, you know, I've talked about, you know, kind of the concept of good and bad, you know, the concept of good and evil in Vodou and how it's not the same as it's considered from a Western lens. But I'll just give some examples, right? So let's say, for example, there may have been some sort of spiritual injustice. Something happened in the lineage that could kind of bring about a curse if left unresolved. Sometimes, again, if there's, again, from a spiritual lens, if there's work that hasn't been done for the laws, right? If you have a family and there are laws in your family and they haven't been, they've been neglected, they've been forgotten, ancestors that's maybe been forgotten that haven't been venerated, that can sometimes create certain types of curses. There can be unresolved karma, right? There may have been broken promises, misused power, betrayal, right? Humans being humans in past lives, you know, not understanding the ramifications of how that affects future generations. Remember, the life you lead, the work you do, the good, the bad, the ugly, and again, I'm just kind of using that in simple terms, affect generations, 7 generations back and 7 generations forward. So we stay interconnected with our ancestors and the lineages, you know, forward. So anytime there's any sort of trauma, injustice, imbalance, remember, Vodou is all about harmony and balance. So even if harmony and balance, it hasn't taken place within one person or group of individuals' lifetime, it has to at some point be resolved. It may take a generation or two, right, to help bring things back to balance, to help bring, you know, kind of the spiritual health back to equilibrium. Right? Because that's what it's all about. It's always about that. So understanding that, because we are eternal beings, whether we choose to acknowledge that or not, we are eternal beings. We are eternal spiritual beings. Sometimes it takes multiple lifetimes in order to fully resolve a particular situation, right? That's affecting a particular lineage. So, you know, it's not about, again, this shaming, this original sin. It's really about what are some of the things that we have to acknowledge that's happened in our family that may have created, you know, a spiritual binding. It may have made the ancestors unhappy or the laws of the family unhappy. And it maybe has created some sort of a spiritual block that needs to be resolved in order to bring the family lineage back to equilibrium. And so being able to understand kind of what a generational curse truly is an important matter. And it's important, especially if you are beginning to work with the laws, because, you know, I mentioned that families, they pass down, you know, we pass down our genius, our strengths, you know, our resilience, right? But they also pass down, you know, families pass down spiritual debts, they pass down conflicts with each other. And these types of kind of what you've inherited can affect your current life, right? They can affect your health. They can affect the types of situations you find yourself. They can even affect your relationships. So being mindful of that and knowing that laws may already be involved. So if you are new to Vodou or you're starting to kind of get involved in some way and you've had a connection, and if you've had laws in your, this may not be the case for everyone, right? But for the individuals that do have laws in their family, there may be laws that are tied to that situation, right? And they're coming, they want to come and help you, right? They want to come and help you, or they want to come in and be, you know, they want to kind of be liberated, right, from the situation themselves. So that is sometimes a really interesting dynamic that we see individuals end up having to take on, unbeknownst to them initially, or unbeknownst to, like, wow, this is why everyone in the family has this problem, or, you know, the men in the family has, you know, know, has this situation, or the women in the family have this situation. There's sometimes maybe some sort of energetic blockage. So, you know, there's so much stigma with the concept of a generational curse. I like to use the word energetic blockage, because that's essentially what it is. It's an energetic blockage that's created through unresolved energy of some sort from a past life of a past ancestor, or ancestors, plural. Right. And so sometimes, you know, if you're able to be aware that these things are there, it can also help you understand what your working relationship is with your laws, or what they used to be for your ancestors, or your ancestors. You can learn a little bit more about your ancestors and what is it that they need in order to elevate. Right. But it also can help you in terms of being able to protect yourself spiritually. If you're aware of what curses are, you know, or these blockages exist, and you're able to, you know, be able to protect yourself so that you don't end up kind of, you know, kind of fulfilling this pattern, right? Because usually a generational curse, there's a pattern to it, right? And speaking of patterns, so I want to talk about patterns. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about how to identify the different patterns of generational curses. But most importantly, today we're going to talk about ways to begin to break generational curses. Hope you're enjoying today's episode. Have a question, comment, or feedback? Feel free to send us an email at aguacerito@gmail.com. That's aguacerito@gmail.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.aguacerito.com for more information about past episodes, show notes, and more.
Are you passionate about Haitian voodoo, its history, and its role in shaping the Haitian culture in the world? Then let us introduce you to COSAMBA, the premier scholarly association dedicated to the study of Haitian voodoo and Pan-African religions. COSAMBA brings together scholars, practitioners, and the broader community to explore the richness of Pan-African traditions. Through research, conferences, and community engagement, COSAMBA keeps the sacred tradition of Haitian voodoo alive while fostering deeper understandings. Whether you're a scholar, a student, or simply someone seeking to learn more about these powerful faith traditions, COSAMBA is your gateway to knowledge and connections. Visit COSAMBA, COSANBA.org, to learn more and join the movement.
Want to make a difference in a child's life? The Empowerment Network 10 Global, founded by Dr. Charlene Dazier, is transforming communities by providing children with opportunities to learn, grow, and thrive. Through summer camps, leadership programs, and educational support, 10 Global creates safe, nurturing spaces where children can develop confidence, life skills, and a brighter future. Centered in Haitian voodoo cosmology and African spirituality, these programs give kids the tools they need to succeed, whether it's academically, socially, spiritually, or emotionally. But we need your help. By donating, volunteering, or spreading the word, you can help provide scholarships, supplies, and life-changing experiences for these young minds. Visit 10global.org today. That's TENGLOBAL.org. Get involved or get connected. Together, we empower. Together, we rise. So let's begin by first talking about, well, how can I identify if there is a generational pattern or, you know, some sort of curse or some sort of energetic blockage that's in my family? Like, how can I identify that if you feel that that is something that you're interested in understanding a bit more? I think there's some clear signs. There's some clear signs from not only from a voodoo lens, but from an ancestral lens. If you think about knowing your family history, this is why knowing your family history is so important. And being able to be aware of that, I know from my experience, especially as a Haitian American, that sometimes some of our families are very secretive, right? They're very secretive. You start asking about, oh, you know, I want to learn about, you know, my great great grandfather, and like, you know, someone gets upset, like, who's asking? Why are you asking questions, right? But that goes back to the repression that many of our elders and many of our ancestors faced, because knowledge is power, right? And so because of that, because many folks lived at a time when we had to live in secrecy, we had to be in secrecy in order to survive, that secrecy culture, unfortunately, is the aftermath of some of the trauma that many Haitian families have lived through. And they've passed that sense of that trauma. They've passed that sense of secrecy. Like, you only need to know, you know, you only have information on a need to know basis. Even something as simple as like, who was my Aunt Sally, right? So if that is you, if that's your family, I resonate with that. I totally get that. I totally get that. However, see how you can, sometimes we can, if we're not able to get information from our living elders, sometimes our ancestors will come if we ask them. Sometimes they will come and they will tell us. So don't feel discouraged if you're like, man, I don't really know past this person in my family, or I don't really know a lot of information, or, you know, people are very secretive about certain things. If there is a pattern or some sort of energetic blockage that you were, let's say, destined to help break or help kind of identify and resolve, the laws and the ancestors are gonna find a way to ensure that you find out in some sort of way. So, you know, go with the flow, right? Don't blame, you know, the aunts and uncles of our elders that are secretive, right? You gotta understand, you know, the oppressive, you know, and not only oppressive from a spiritual lens, but also remember, a lot of Haitians have lived through very, you know, politically oppressive environments, right? With past presidents and that sort of thing. So don't blame, you know, our poor, you know, families that are seem to be secretive, but understand that, if I go back to this, understand that there is a pattern to these energetic blockages if you are able to identify them. And you usually can, like I said, you can usually signal if something is cycling deeper in your bloodline that may be an energetic blockage that needs to be surfaced. Curses or energetic blockages, they typically have what I call an activation point, right? So in other words, there's something that happens. There's some sort of conditions that once they are met or they present themselves in the lineage, it starts to activate the curse, right? It starts to activate the blockages. So for example, if you find that and these are just examples, right? These are illustrative examples, but just to give you some context. And within these examples, there can be a lot of reasons, right? So I'm going to talk about, you know, generational curses, energetic blockages from a spiritual lens. Some of these, there may be multi reasons, right? Spiritual may be one layer. There may be a medical reason. There may be a mental reason. There may be an emotional reason, right? So I'm going to talk about it from a spiritual lens, but understand that these are multi-layered, multifaceted situations that we sometimes see happening in our family. So for example, if you find that women in your family are having fertility complications, right? and a curse or an energetic blockage may start to see a pattern that, wow, anytime a woman in my family after the age of over 35, they're not able to have children, or they have children and there's some sort of tragedy that takes place. That can sometimes be an example. Sometimes it can be purely medical, right? But other times it could also lend to a spiritual situation. If you find that sometimes there's certain individuals that have severe depression, let's say all the men in the family, after a certain age, they seem to have severe depression, or, you have a line of family members that, abuse alcohol or abuse drugs, right? That may be a clue into some sort of energetic blockages. It can affect, again, when certain conditions are met. We see this with a particular gender. Let's say if it's the women in the family, or it's the men in the family, or sometimes it can be family position. So, for example, the eldest sons of the family, there's a pattern that you see that it continued to take place. Or the women of the family, right? Or the daughters, the teenagers of the family, the teenage daughters, for example, or the baby of the family. So sometimes we see curses, again, they may skip a generation or skip a person, but if a certain condition is met, it does start to activate that particular blockage. And we see this there being kind of a pattern. And some patterns are more heavier than others, right? Some are really destructive behaviors. Others are coping mechanisms. And others, sometimes people see things and they're lighthearted, right? They seem like positive, but they can still be energetic blockages. So for example, if you come from a lineage and everyone is like a workaholic, where being a workaholic is, unfortunately in our society still revered as a good thing, we do see sometimes people work themselves to death, right? They work themselves. And if you come from, let's say, if you have a family where everyone is working hard, and people are like dropping dead at their business or in their workplace, right? That's also a pattern. So curses or these energetic blockages, they can sometimes seem very positive on the outside, but taken to a certain extreme, because there's not that balance, they become deadly, right? So it's not just, these like horrible things that could specifically happen. It could also be something too much of a good thing, so to speak, that can happen that is a pattern that we see that takes place, right? So if you see these cycles, these patterns, you see cycles of, people suddenly dying, dying unnatural deaths. Let's say if folks in a family, let's say if, individuals are constantly being murdered or dying in tragic accidents of some sort, or individuals that are dealing with some sort of mental, different mental illnesses that continue to be left undiagnosed, right? Or just a repetition of the same tragedy you see where, let's say all the men in the family just, they have no luck in love, right? Or they all their spouses pass away. So you'll see this, there's always some sort of pattern, and it takes for certain conditions to be met in order for that pattern to activate. Now, that's why you'll see sometimes a curse may skip a person or skip a generation, because the conditions of that specific generation did not meet the curse in order to activate it. So just being aware of that is extremely important. And you, like I said, you may see these patterns and not really think light, not really think much of it, but to say, wow, there are maybe some patterns in our family that maybe we need to look into, that we need to dig a little deeper to understand what is really going on. So being able to first identify a pattern, right? Even if it's on the surface, but it gives you enough information for you to dig a little deeper. So how do we begin to break generational curses, right? How do we begin to resolve this? So you know, breaking curses is hard work. And, you know, depending on how deep that curse is within a family, depending on how long it's been around, you know, sometimes you may be able to initially break it within a generation, but if certain things aren't put in place, it could come back, right? Sometimes they can cycle back. So it's important that, especially if you are Haitian American, or you're an individual that is a little bit more removed from Haiti, just know that breaking curses is hard work from a spiritual lens, right? But some of us are doing that work, right? Some of us, whether we realize it or not, we've made decisions in our lives to say, you know what? We know the patterns of our family. We said we are going to be the anti-answer to that, right? We're not going to repeat XYZ that maybe we grew up on, right? And that's great. But again, how do you embed that on a deeper, more permanent level, so that again, the generations in the future, you know, can see a new reality, right? They can continue to live a completely different way, whatever that way is, whatever those conditions are. And I think it's really fascinating, again, in this generation, many of us are, you're Haitian American, or you're African American, you're an individual that has come from, you know, descendants of enslaved Africans. You may be breaking curses, and, you know, from a Haitian voodoo lens, or from a hoodoo lens, and, you know, never been to Haiti, never been to the continent, to any of the countries in Africa. If you are that person, I want to give you a big aibobo to you. If you are like, you know what, I'm still trying to put together my ancestry. I may not know all my ancestry. I may not be able to speak their native tongue. I may have not gone to those native countries, but I am doing the work, right? I so respect individuals that are kind of like, I'm going to just take it for what it is and where I am and start there. Because I believe that you are built differently. Like if that is you, regardless of your background, you are built differently. And most likely, you are an answered prayer of your ancestors. You are an answered prayer of your family. So again, aibobo to you if you feel called to do this, or you're just trailblazing in your family in a way that they have never seen before. Trust me in the fact that if that is you, in whatever shape that takes, know that that work is not for nothing, right? But again, you know, for the rest of this episode, I want to just talk about, so what are some ways that you can really create a permanency to that, to removing that and those energetic blockages, and being able to kind of, you know, bring, you know, kind of really cement your legacy, right, of the work that you're doing. And if you feel called to do this work in your family, understand it's not easy work. But feel free to reach out to me at aguacerito@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your story. I'd love to hear how you're doing it. And again, like I said, I'm going to probably circle back on this topic later in the season, and maybe in future episodes. Because again, it's an important topic, and it's affecting more people than sometimes they even realize. But again, this episode was specifically for awareness, and I'm hoping that if you've never really gave it much thought, you start to think about it and start to think about, you know, how you can, you know, continue to be, you know, kind of the answer your family is looking for, or pass this episode on to someone else that may need to hear this type of information. So how do we break these types of curses? Right. I think the first thing is starting to decolonize how we think about it. So remember the beginning I talked about, like, what a generational curse is. It's essentially it's unresolved energy. It may be ancestral debt. It's a form of unresolved, you know, energetic blockages that need to be resolved in order to bring health, balance, and equilibrium, spiritual health, spiritual balance, spiritual equilibrium to your family lineage, right? So I think just by reframing it, right, taking it out of this shaming, out of this moral judgment, out of this original sin category, right, that, you know, because when we think about, like, you know, shaming, like, no one wants to deal with something that shames them or makes them feel bad. So I think by starting to reframe it, you start to, you know, remove its power, right? You remove the impact just by reframing it, right? Knowing that it is a spiritual wound that is not divine punishment. This is not divine punishment from God, but rather a spiritual wound that needs to be repaired in order to help your bloodline heal, right? So this is all about healing when we think about how we even think about these words, right? How we, and the more we decolonize how we think about these things, the more we bring liberation and liberative healing to us and our family, as well as our ancestors, right? So how do we start? So reframing the actual terminology is one thing. But the other thing is you gotta name the pain, right? You gotta ask, even if it's uncomfortable, even that secretive aunt or secretive uncle that, you know, doesn't want to talk about certain things, even if it's uncomfortable, you know, ask the hard questions. This goes back to shadow work. Ask the hard questions. If they're still around, you know, and you still have access to certain people, ask them, what happened to XYZ? What actually happened in this accident? Or why is it that this part of the family is not talking to this part of the family, right? Like, what really happened? Right. So starting to ask the questions, to face the story, to understand the story, but to understand it from a non-judgmental perspective, but to be able to understand it, to begin to think about how can I support in the healing of this within my lineage, right? I talk about patterns. Look for patterns, right, that are just questionable in your family, whether it's patterns of behaviors, patterns of results and outcomes of people in the family, deaths, if there's just, you know, deaths that don't make sense, silent places where people are constantly silent, where when they talk about this person or they talk about this situation or whatever, everyone goes silent. So being able to, you got to name it in order, you got to name the pain, and be okay naming the pain in order to find the healing, right? And if you find that you're in a space where you are around people and no one knows the story or no one knows what happens, which sometimes is the case, this is the beauty of ancestral veneration. And I keep going back to how ancestor veneration can be the key that helps unlock our healing. Because you can go to them and ask them the question to say, hey, there's no one that's alive at this point, but I, you know, in order for me to really take my life to the next level, I've been having these patterns in my life. I want to understand what happened. Like, why is there this pattern in our family? And how can you on the other side, how can you help? How can you help? What needs to be done? What types of prayers need to be said? What types of rituals need to be done in order to resolve these energetic blockages? These are big questions, and the answer may not come immediately, but over time you will get the answer, right? It goes back to, I said this a couple episodes, the quality of our life is dictated by the quality of the questions we ask. So being able to face the story, name the wound, ask the hard questions, right? And asking them, reframing this idea of a curse and reframing it as a wound that needs to be healed is very empowering. Even if that's all you do for, let's just say, I'm just going to make this up, like a year or two, you'd be surprised how further along you get than maybe others in your past, right? Or others within your lineage. You know, if you want to take an even more active approach, divination can always be helpful, right? Because divination can help you identify the root cause of a curse, right? If that information is available, right? So this is you finding a trusted spiritual practitioner that you know that can help you identify, you know, what are some energetic blockages that they've identified. Now, different people, depending on their divination gifts, some practitioners may only be able to see that there's an energetic blockage, while others, you know, depending on how well rooted they are when it comes to, let's say, ancestral divination work, they may be able to tell you exactly what the problem is, right? So I would say, you know, Ask your ancestors for guidance. If you're in communication with laws, ask your laws to help you identify the right spiritual practitioner that can reveal which ancestor or spirit is at the root of this energetic blockage. What was broken? What was maybe unfulfilled? What debt needs to be paid? What happened, you know? And then also, not just what happened, you know, within divination, they can also say what offerings, what rituals, what set of prayers, what things you may need to do in order to resolve this so that it is not affecting your life or it's not affecting the lives of your loved ones, right? So just knowing that this, being able to get to the root cause is really important. So, you know, if you really want to heal from these types of like unresolved energies, it has to be specific. You can't just say, oh yeah, there's an ancestral blockage and I see the pattern, right? You got to go deeper and you got to find individuals that can support that. And like I said, if you don't know of anyone or you haven't found anyone that can give you that specificity, this is why I go back to talking to your ancestors, right? And asking them for them to put the right person on your path, right? But also understanding once you get to the root cause, it's not about shaming, right? Sometimes maybe an ancestor broke a promise or they died before they were able to fulfill a promise to a loa or to another individual that created, you know, that created problems. Maybe someone died violently and they were never really honored. And that has created some sort of unresolved, you know, energetic blockage. You know, like I said, the spirits, maybe there's been a long time in your family where the spirits of your lineage haven't been fed. They've been disconnected for whatever reason, right? You know, there's been a lot of, you know, different religions. There's been a lot of forced conversions. You know, people have literally almost, you know, lost their lives. Many people have lost their lives for practicing their faith. And because of that means for survival, some individuals had to give up serving their spirits or give up serving their ancestors. And that's created an unresolved energetic blockage. So not all of these things are like, oh my gosh, my family were bad people. It's like, you know, sometimes things just happen to individuals and they didn't get a chance to fulfill it or course correct it before they passed away and it's been passed on. So, you know, looking at these situations is like, wow, clarity is power, right? How can I have clarity of what's happened in my family and what do I need to do to fix it, right? You can't fix what you can't see or what you don't know. So again, being able to have some sort of divination and finding the right practitioner to help clue you in is a very important element. I mentioned ancestral veneration. I'm going to mention it again and again and again as another way to deal with different types of when they have, like, you know, generational patterns or curses, right? I feel that I think just ancestral veneration is a very powerful way to not only identify curses, but also to help resolve them, right? Being able to do ongoing prayers for your ancestors. Many individuals do things like ancestor feedings, which can be helpful depending on, again, how advanced you are in your spiritual practice. If you are brand new, I would not suggest starting out trying to feed ancestors, right? I think it's one of those, like, think of it as like a crawl, walk, run approach, right? So spirituality is not, you know, this is not microwave spirituality. I talked about this, I think, in a couple different episodes where it's like, you don't want to rush. This is the type of work that takes time. It takes commitment and it takes that, you know, you have to be led to where you need to go. So you don't want to, if you haven't been venerating your ancestors, you don't want to just start like feeding them and you're still building a relationship with them, right? So crawl, walk, run, start with just praying for them, right? And again, we're venerating, we're not worshiping our ancestors, we're venerating them, right? We're thanking them for the contributions that they've done, right? So start slow with prayers first. first before you get into other advanced rituals. And make sure if you do any sort of advanced rituals like ancestor feedings and that sort of thing, making sure that you're getting help from an elder or, you know, a trusted spiritualist that is very well versed in this space. Don't just start doing these things and not really clear and not having that grounding, right? But you can pray, right? You can pray for your ancestors. You can pray, you can talk to them. You can light, you know, something as simple as a white candle with a glass of water you can put a water libation for them on the, you know, on the floor and have a conversation and keep it really simple until you've been instructed otherwise, because they will let you know if they need other things. Within Vodou, there are very specific ancestral rituals. One that's called a libera. So a libera, as it sounds, it's a litany of prayers that are done to essentially liberate, right? To elevate our ancestors. That's an example you'll hear time and time again, right? So that's just one example, but there's many other types of rituals that you can do. Being able to help liberate, elevate your ancestors, they can help tremendously with generational curses and energetic blockages. Other things you can do, you know, things like spiritual cleansings. I've talked about spiritual cleansings before in the shadow work episode. It depends on the person, right? Depends on the curse, the pattern that's taking place, how it's affecting you in your life, how it may be affecting, let's say, your immediate family. Depending on the magnitude of the blockage, in severe cases, sometimes it requires people to do certain types of rites, right? So some spiritual cleanses involved and as advanced as doing like what we call in Vodou as a lave tête or a head washing. Sometimes in some families it's initiation. Sometimes people they don't initiate to be, let's say, practitioners. They initiate to remove certain energetic blockages, right? To align back to equilibrium, right? Due to generational blockages in their family, right? So I'm going to talk about head washing, lave tête. I'm going to talk about initiations in the future, but that is sometimes the case. Again, with if there's severe cases, this is not the case for everyone. This is small, you know, this is kind of a small percentage of individuals where sometimes the severity of what they're dealing with requires, you know, really advanced rituals in order to have the level of spiritual cleansing they need to be able to face, you know, the blockages that their family is experiencing, right? There could be other things. There could be other types of ritual work, right? Whether it's feedings, it's other offerings that's given, whether it's to laws or ancestors. Sometimes it's certain types of ritual work that needs to be done in order to mitigate certain types of energetic blockages. Feeding, you know, I talked about rituals. There's also feeding. Sometimes there's ongoing feedings that you have to do, whether it's with your laws or with the ancestors. Again, this is kind of more advanced, but, you know, just to kind of put it out there, for those that are aware, being able to, you know, stay in constant prayer with your laws, in constant prayer in connection with your ancestors, being able to offer different types of drinks and songs, asking for guidance. So just building the relationship, but building a strong relationship with your laws, building a strong relationship with your ancestors can also help, you know, kind of not only lift a specific blockage, but make sure it stays at bay, right? That it doesn't kind of activate again. So sometimes just being able to be in that space of constant reverence, right? And serving the laws can be very helpful to helping you within your family. If you have any other questions, whether it's about, you know, the soul, shadow work, or generational curses, feel free again to email us aguacerito@gmail.com. One more thing. So a lot of what we've talked about in terms of breaking curses have been sort of like spiritual tactics, right? There are some curses, depending on what they are, that require for you to just change the patterns in your life, for you to just change, let's say, how you make decisions, right? So not all, and I think I've said this before, not all solutions have to necessarily be only spiritual. if you take, you know, if we look thinking again, how do we change patterns in our life, right? Breaking cycles, right? Speaking truth in families where there's always been silence, for example, or raising, you know, raising kids or raising our nieces and nephews with love in a way that maybe our ancestors didn't or our elders didn't, right? Being able to empower ourselves, right? If especially if we came from a place where there wasn't as much empowerment in our family. So sometimes just us living and existing in a way that is purpose driven, is intentional, and it breaks, you know, the pattern that we may be seeing in our family. Sometimes that can also be a huge game changer in helping remove energetic blockages, right? So, you know, Vodou does, you know, again, going back to this idea of healing and balance, it stresses not only that there should be spiritual repair, but it's like, how can we also make sure that we're taking accountability for how we're living our lives, how we're making decisions within our lives that matches the spiritual changes that we want to see, right? So healing family relationships, right? Not continuing self-destructive patterns, right? Being, you know, finding ways that we can, you know, live to the highest, our highest character in a way that honors both the living and the dead, right? So there's a lot of different ways. It's not just always spiritual, right? But there's ways that we could take accountability. Even if we're around others that don't take accountability, we can't control others. We can only control ourselves, right? So if we take control of our lives, we take control of our narratives for our healing, whether that's spiritual healing or physical earthly healing, and being able to live in a way that liberates us, that is also just as powerful. So, you know, just some final thoughts, right? You know, when we think about generation curses, it's not about the curse, right? It's about how could you, as a member of your family, be strong enough to untie the rope, to identify that there's a knot that's tied, to help untie it, to identify that there's a blockage that is continuing to affect the family and help resolve that blockage, right? To identify that there are ancestral debts that need to be fulfilled, and how can you help and do your part in helping pay those debts, right? So healing a generational curse is not about fear. It's about how do we really live in a place of faith, and we live in a place where we can be the bridge between what we've seen, the one that changes, you know, things, or being able to be the change you wish to see in the world. I always say, start with your family, start with your immediate environment to be the change you want to see in the world. And, you know, one last thing I want to just kind of call out, anytime there's those sorts of generational pain, certain sorts of dysfunctions that you may be seeing in a family, it isn't your fault. You know, so sometimes you're like, my goodness, it just feels like, you know, since I've come around or whatever the case is, it's not your fault. But you may have been chosen, whether you realize it or not, you may have been chosen to help transform it. So you don't just liberate yourself. Even you living and being the antagonist to particular situations you see happening in your family, even you just living your life, even if you don't do anything else, that alone can sometimes break a curse, because you become a living example of the possibilities of the highest potential of your family. So I bobo to you, you know, if you continue to be a kind of a living example of what your family could be, or what they can be, or what they should be, right? However you want to, just sometimes doing that and doing the work and just being a living example of doing the work is what your mission is on this planet to do. That is all we have for today's show. I'm really excited. Our next episode, we're going to kick in season 2 into full gear with our season 2 premiere, and I can't wait for you to join us. We're going to close out today's episode in prayer. Thank you to Almighty Creator, source of all life and breath. Thank you to all the divine saints, spirits, and protectors who have walked with us in this sacred gathering. Thank you to the ancestral spirits in the East, the West, the North, and South. May your presence continue to guide us as we move forward. Thank you to the ancestors of our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, and our great-grandparents, whose wisdom and sacrifices have paved the way for our existence. Thank you to all of our ancestors, near and far, for your love, your strength, and your eternal guidance. We give gratitude for the unity we have shared and for the wisdom we have revealed in this moment. We release ourselves into the world with your blessings, asking for your continued protection and guidance as we walk our paths. We honor the thread that connects us all as children of this earthly realm and as spiritual beings beyond it. May the light of wisdom, the power of courage, and the bond of love remain with us as we part ways. May our hearts remain open, our minds remain clear, and our spirits remain strong to continue learning, growing, and thriving together. We affirm that all that is needed has been received, all that is to be learned will unfold, and all that is to be shared will bear fruit in time. Aibobo, Agoago, Bo, Asao, Alaso, Aoshenago, Javodo, Afutai, Bilolo, Swakongo, Kwa, Sen, Bo. Thank you for tuning into the Agua Cerrito podcast show. Thank you for joining us on the Agua Cerrito podcast show. Together we honor our ancestors, embrace the beauty of Vodou, and step boldly toward liberation. If this episode resonated with you, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. It helps us amplify the spirit of Haitian Vodou even further. Join us next week as we continue this journey to connect, inspire, and uplift. Until then, walk boldly with your spirits, and remember, the Agua Cerrito Show is not just a podcast. It is a vibration a celebration, a path to freedom.